but the heart rates are coming down, indicating that he's beginning to drop off to sleep. The fact that Scott and Irwin did get to sleep or begin their rest period 1 hour and 50 minutes late, and this coupled with the fact that we have a rigid ingress time, a time for the crew to re-enter the lunar module and prepare for liftoff, and that time is about 168 hours. This coupled with the late beginning to the rest period implies that we'll probably have a late start to the third EVA. We do not plan to put in a call to the crew until they've had 7 hours of rest. And this would mean that we would start the EVA, start the preparations for the EVA 1 hour, 50 minutes late. We would hope to make up at least part of that in the EVA preparations. And our best estimate at this time is that the EVA, the third extravehicular activity, will be shortened by somewhere between 1 hour to 1.5 hours, starting 1 to 1.5 hours later than the scheduled flight plan time, or at about 163 hours to 163 hours 30 minutes. However, in the final analysis, this will depend on when the crew, Scott and Irwin, awake and get started on their EVA preparations. In order to be prepared for any eventuality, we're planning the EVA for 4 to 6 hours or anything in between. The best estimate at this time is that it would be a 5 hour EVA, getting started about 1 hour late. Since we do not expect any further conversations with the command module or the lunar module during the rest periods, we plan to take the lines down. Should we hear anything from either vehicle, we'll play back the conversation immediately on tape and then stand by live if it appears there'll be any further conversations. At 154 hours, 7 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 155 hours, 3 minutes. We said goodnight to Scott and Irwin aboard the lunar module on the lunar surface about an hour and 45 minutes ago, and passed along our goodnights to Al Warden in the command module about 1 hour ago, and have had no further communications with either vehicle. We're still about 16 minutes away from reacquiring the command module, which at that time will be on its 40th revolution of the moon. The heart rates, based on the biomedical telemetry data we're getting on Jim Irwin, indicate that he is resting comfortably and dozing, either asleep or very near asleep. And both spacecraft continue to appear normal in every respect. No outstanding systems problems at the present time. And we're getting good data from the science, Lunar Surface Science Package, the ALSEP. And all the experiments there appear to be functioning well at the present time. We're getting very good signal strength also from the transmitter on the ALSEP. In the scientific instrument module bay, aboard the command and service module, we're getting good data from the continuing to get good data from the orbital experiments being carried there. With the exception of a couple of problems which we've mentioned previously, all of the instruments there are functioning normally. The problems are with the laser altimeter, which is used in conjunction with the mapping camera, and it appears that the laser altimeter is simply not getting enough return signal. It's below the threshold. That would appear to be the case at the present time, and we're more and more coming to suspect that we're not going to get usable data from the laser altimeter. The other problem is with the mass spectrometer, and it's difficult at this point to say whether that's a real problem or a sensor problem. Worden has reported that on retracting the boom mechanism, the retraction does not appear to be occurring as rapidly as we would expect. And on the last revolution before he began his rest period, he reported that when he attempted to retract the mass spectrometer at the end of its 24-foot boom, the indicator in the spacecraft went partway closed, but did not give him a solid indication that it had retracted. He recycled the switch a couple of times, extending and retracting. And we don't at this point know whether the problem was with the sensor or with the boom mechanism itself. And since Worden has no way of actually seeing the extended boom, that issue is still somewhat in doubt. The principal investigator for that particular experiment elected not to attempt to deploy the mass spectrometer at the last opportunity. There will be a time later in the orbital sequence where the command module will be in a more favorable attitude for deploying the mass spectrometer. And the decision when they do attempt to redeploy it at that time. Again, to repeat the situation as far as the third extravehicular activity is concerned, Scott and Irwin began their rest period about 1 hour 50 minutes behind the scheduled time in the flight plan. And since we have a rigid liftoff time, we do not plan to slip liftoff, and it will be necessary to have the crew back in the lunar module and beginning their preparations for liftoff at about 168 hours. With this as a kind of an upper limit than for the EVAs, and coupled with the fact that the rest period began late and we do not plan to awaken the crew prior to 7 hours of rest, it raises the distinct possibility that the EVA will be somewhere between an hour to an hour and one half late getting started. This would place egress from the lunar module at about 163 to 163 and a half hours, assuming that the amount that we're behind in the flight plan for the lunar module and Scott and Irwin continues to hold at the same level it is at the present time. There is the possibility that some of this time can be made up in the preparations for the EVA after the crew is awake. There's also a distinct possibility that even though we do not plan to awaken Scott and Irwin before 7 hours, that they may themselves awake and decide to get up and get started. To cover these possibilities, we're continuing to plan for EVAs ranging anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, with the best estimate that the EVA will be about an hour late getting started. In other words, starting at about 163 hours and will last for about 5 hours. At 158 hours, 9 minutes, this is Apollo Control Houston standing by. This is Apollo Control at 156 hours. The command module has just a few minutes ago passed over the Hadley site on its 40th revolution of the moon. Both crews are in the midst of sleep periods at the present time, and the biomedical data that we have on Al Worden shows that he is soundly asleep. And found Jim Irwin sleeping a little less soundly. The surgeon reports that he is at times dozing and at times perhaps just resting. We have some preliminary numbers on the total sample collected so far on the first two EVAs by Scott and Irwin. These are estimated weights based on numbers read back by the crew from the gross weights of the sample plus container, and the estimated net weight is obtained by subtracting out the known weights of the containers and equipment contained within them. These estimates are as follows. For the first EVA, a total of 28.9 pounds, and for the second EVA, a total of 77.6 pounds, giving us an estimated grand total for the first two EVAs of about 106.5 pounds. We at the present time have good solid telemetry data from both vehicles, and both spacecraft appear to be normal. No problems at the present time. We'll continue to monitor the systems on both spacecraft continuously on the LEM and every revolution while the command module is in radio acquisition. We don't expect any further communications with either crew during the rest periods, and we'll have our release lines down except for periodic status reports. We are at the present time replaying the videotape of today's EVA, and that can be seen in the MSC News Center. At 156 hours, 3 minutes, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control. We're now about 3 hours away from the time we plan to put in a call to Dave Scott and Jim Irwin aboard the Lunar Module Falcon on the lunar surface and get them started for their third and final period of extravehicular activity. Scott reported about 4 hours ago that he and Jim Irwin were going to call it a day and try to get some sleep. This was about 1 hour and 50 minutes behind the regularly scheduled beginning of the rest period. And as we have mentioned, this undoubtedly will cut short the EVA, or at least raises a very distinct possibility that the EVA will be shortened, most likely by about an hour. Throughout the evening in Mission Control, we've been working on a series of EVA plans, which we would hope to have ready to present to the oncoming shift gold team of flight controllers who will have responsibility for carrying out the EVA here in the control center. These EVA plans will cover the eventualities for EVAs ranging from 4 hours to 6 hours, probably in 30-minute segments. In other words, we would have a plan for a six-hour EVA, one for an EVA that ran 5 hours, 30 minutes, 5 hours, four hours, 30 minutes, and 4 hours. The total time of the exploratory period would then depend on the time that the crew awakes and completes their EVA preparations. Both spacecraft continue to remain stable. We do not have radio contact with the orbiting command module at the present time. We're about 15 minutes away from reacquiring. But during the front side passes, when we've had telemetry data, the command module continues to look normal, as does the lunar module. And of course, we have continuous telemetry data from the lunar module. At 157 hours, 3 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston.